In Ephesians 5:17, we've discovered that God really wants us to know and to understand what His will is for our lives. As a matter of fact, the writer, Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians, makes it clear, and that is that those who are going to walk in wisdom, those who are wise, are those who understand what the will of the Lord is, and that it's possible for you and I to understand what the will of God is. As a matter of fact, the idea of God's will being hidden somewhere so that we can't find it, that we have to look but have a difficult time finding us, seems to be foreign to what we're reading here in the Bible, that God really wants us to know and really wants us to understand what His will is for our life and what His purpose is and also what His plan is for our life, to be understanding what the will of the Lord is so we can walk in wisdom and so that we can follow after Him. Now, we've discovered in these messages that if we're going to understand what the will of the Lord is, that we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, that is, the one who is revealing the will of God to us. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and we also need to be paying attention to and aware of the direction of God as God providentially works around us in our circumstances, and that we need to be aware of what He's doing so that we can discern the will of God. And we also need to be students of the Word of God. And that is, we got to get into the Word of God, because it's in this book that God reveals to us what His will is. If we're going to understand what the will of the Lord is, then we've got to get into the Bible. And we got to read the Bible so we know what it says, and study it so that we'll know what it means, and so that we can understand, that God can open our eyes and help us to know what the will of the Lord is. So we've been trying to do that, trying to find out what the Bible says about the will of God. And we've discovered that the will of God is for us to be saved. And many of you have already experienced the will of God, and that is, you've come to Christ. But if you haven't, if you've never been saved, I'm going to say to you, the will of God is for you to be saved. The number one thing that God wants for your life, God's will, is what God wants for you and from you, and the will of God, what God wants for you, is to be saved. That's why He sent His Son to die on the cross 2,000 years ago, is so that you could be saved. That's why He sent His Spirit to draw sinners to Christ, is so that you could be saved. That's why God planted a church right here in this location that you're able to come to and hear the gospel, and so that you can be saved. God wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to perish. 2 Peter 3:9. He does not want you to perish. But He wants all men, all of us, to come to repentance. And ladies and gentlemen, He wants to save you if you're not saved. That's what God's will is for your life, is for you to turn to Christ. Turn from your sin and turn to Christ. Say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I've got great news for you. He's already done it for you. And God wants to save you. He wants to save you worse than you want to be saved. And He's trying to work in you in such a way that you'll want to be saved, that you'll realize that the reason why you need to be saved is because you're perishing, and that God has made provision for those who are perishing. And He did it at the cross in the death of His Son in His resurrection. What I'm trying to say to you is the will of God is for you to be saved. I've also began to discuss with you what the Bible says about the will of God, that it's the will of God for you to be surrendered. And that is, if you're saved, God brought you to the point of surrendering to Him as Lord of your life and surrendering to what He did on the cross as the only way to be saved. That God brought you to the point that you ceased trying to do anything to save yourself, and you surrendered, trusted in what He did for you at the cross. Now that you're saved, God wants you to continue to live a surrendered life. The will of God is for you to be surrendered completely to Him. That is, for the rest of your life, to be sold out and surrendered to God. Remember Romans chapter number 12, we discovered this truth. And that is, when Paul was writing to the believers at Rome, he said to them, he was begging them, he says, I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God that you offer or present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is, holy and acceptable unto God. This is just your reasonable service, and don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove or experience or know by experience the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can I know the will of God for my life? How can the will of God become the experience of my life? It is, ladies and gentlemen, as I surrender my body to the Lord, as I present my body as a living sacrifice. The idea is like the Old Testament worshipers laying an offering on this, that is, presenting an offering, a sacrifice to God, and the offering that He wants, the sacrifice that He wants is me. It's to lay my body. That is the material aspect of my life, to lay it on the altar and say, God, here's my body and everything material that pertains to the body. I surrender myself completely to you, the surrender of our body to the Lord. And I preached about that for a little while last Sunday night, and many of you were here. And we also discovered this past Wednesday night that God wants us to surrender our mind to Him. Not only our body, that is the outer material man, the body that we live in and that which pertains to the body, but also God wants us to surrender the inner man, that is our mind, to Him. And the reason why is because God wants to transform your life from the inside out. And ladies and gentlemen, He transforms us by the renewing of the mind. And that is just like you might have moved into a house one day and you began a remodeling process after you moved in. When God came to live on the inside of you from the moment of your conversion, He's been doing a remodeling in your life as well. That's what this word renewal means, that God is making everything new. Some things became instantly brand new at the moment of your conversion, and He's been making everything else new since then. And that is your thought life and what you believe. That is, God is trying to transform your belief system so you stop believing what the world has been feeding you and start believing what the Word says. God is trying to renew your mind. He's trying to deal with those attitudes in your life so that you have a godly attitude. He's trying to renew your mind, transform your life from the inside out by the renewing of the mind. You say, well, how can I experience that? You're going to get your mind surrendered to God. And that is, realize that this is not my mind to do with what I want to. This is God's mind. I belong to Him now. And I don't have a right to listen to everything I want to listen to or see the things I want to see. This mind and what I perceive and what I believe, it all belongs to God. And get our mind surrendered to God. That our mind is going to be set apart to be used for God's glory and not for sinful purposes. Getting our mind surrendered so that God can do His work of renewal in our mind and therefore transform the entire direction of our life. Because you know that our life, ladies and gentlemen, is directed by our mind. What we believe and the values that we hold and the attitudes that we develop. And listen to me now, there's not a person in this room, including the one standing, that does not have areas in our inner being, that is in our mind, that do not need to be transformed, that don't need some change, some adjusting, that is, some attitudes need adjusted and some belief systems need to be transformed, and God's doing that, wants to do that in my life and your life, but we got to lay our mind on the altar and say, God, I surrender my mind to You. And God's will is for you. You'll never know the will of God unless you live a surrendered life. You'll miss out on the will of God for your life if you don't get surrendered. I'm talking about surrendering your body, and I'm talking about surrendering your mind. And then thirdly, that third aspect of our life that I began preaching about this morning is surrendering our will to Him. Surrendering our will to God's will. Now, when I'm talking about our will, let me just remind you what I mean by that. When I'm talking about our will, I'm talking about what it is that I want, that I want for my life. That is what it is that I decide that I'm going to do based on my wants and my desires. God's will is what He wants for my life. My will is what I want for my life. And every once in a while, my will doesn't line up with His will. And so I'm in a dilemma now. And that is, I got to make a decision about who I'm going to surrender to. Who's going to be in control of my life? Is it going to be His will, what God wants, or is it going to be what I want? And I say to you that you're going to miss out on the will of God if you operate your life on the basis of what you want. If your life is all about what you want, and that is what you want to do, and where you want to go, and what you want to buy, and who you want to be friends with, if your life revolves around what you want, then you're going to miss out on what God wants. And if you miss out on what God wants, then you're missing out on God's will. You're not going to know the will of God for your life. You're going to miss out on that. Listen to me now. You may prosper and do well. That is what you want. Maybe cause you to prosper and do well. But when you get at the judgment seat of Christ and you find out that your life has been a complete waste because while you prospered in this life and did well in this life, you never laid up any treasure in heaven. You never fulfilled the purpose and destiny that God had for your life, what He purposed and will for your life. And what a shame it's going to be that you know, according to 1 John 2:28, when the Lord comes, they're going to be those ashamed before Him at His coming, who've wasted our lives living out our own will and not submitting our will to His will. And so if you're going to walk in the center of God's will for your life, if you're going to know or approve that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, you've got to get your will surrendered to His will. Now, in the service this morning, I began trying to think about from the Word of God how we do that. And that is how we get our will surrendered to God's will. And I said to you that it involves certain areas of our lives. There are some areas, there are some things we got to deal with in our life if we're going to get our will surrendered to His will. And I said to you, first of all, that we're going to have to deal with our prayer life, our praying. And that is that the only place that you and I can really get our will surrendered to His will is in our prayer life. Like our Lord taught us, when we pray, we need to pray like this. And that is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not a phrase to repeat. It's an experience to happen in our prayer life. And that is of you and I getting our will surrendered to His will on this earth, and that is in our personal life. And I spent a little bit of time talking about the connection between our prayer life and the will of God. It's in your prayer life, as you learn how to walk with God in prayer, that God can begin to break your will and reveal to you His will. We'll say it again, it's in your prayer life. If you'll start walking with God in prayer, listen, don't be lazy about praying. Walking in the center of God's will depends on a vibrant prayer life. About you getting alone with God and getting surrendered to Him and getting your will laid before Him, getting all of your wants laid before the Lord. That is, taking everything you want and getting it before the Lord in prayer. And you'll find out that some of those things that you want line up with God's will, and God will let you have them. But also you'll find out that some of those things that you want don't line up with the will of God at all. And you'll have to leave them there on the altar and not pick them back up. And stop wanting what's not God's will for you to have. Say it again. You're going to listen. If you get to praying like God wants to teach you how to pray, you lay all of your wants on the altar. That is, you surrender it all to Him. Whether it be at home in your prayer closet, wherever you pray, you get alone, you surrender it all to Him. And listen, what lines up with His will, then God will answer. God will give it to you. But listen to me now, if it doesn't line up with His will, then the best thing that could happen in your life is if you'll lay those wants on the altar and leave them there and don't pick them back up and stop wanting those things that is not God's will for you to have. That's how you get your will surrendered to His will. We have to deal with our praying. I said to you in the service this morning, we have to deal with our position. We looked in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 and 1 Peter chapter number 2, and we discovered there that, ladies and gentlemen, God has placed you and I in the positions that we are in life. Now, it may not be where you want to be, but it's where you are. And if you're going to get your will surrendered to God's will, then you need to submit to the authority that is over you and accept the position that God has placed you in. And under the authority that He has. And stop rebelling against the will of God. Stop rebelling against the will of God. God has placed you in a position in life where you are. And God expects you to be submissive to Him in that position and to the authority that's over you, so that you can walk in the center of His will. You've got to deal with your position. That is, stop trying to be in a position God didn't place you in. Stop wanting, listen to me, I'm going to say it again. Stop wanting a position that God hasn't given you. You may want to be in that position, but if what you want doesn't line up with the will of God, then you better stop wanting and get your will surrendered to His will. Are y'all still with me? We've got to deal with our position. I said to you, we also have to deal with our preferences, just by way of reminder. And that is, our preferences are those things that we prefer, those things that we desire, or those things that we want. And listen now, if you and I are going to get our will surrendered to God's will, then we've got to get our preferences laid on the altar and surrender to Him. That is, you might be preferring or desiring after something that is not the will of God, as we saw in the example in Acts 21, where Paul was going to go to Jerusalem, and it was prophesied that he would be arrested if he went there. And I tell you that those who were traveling with him, including Luke, and also the believers in the house of Philip the evangelist, they didn't want him to go. They preferred for him not to go to Jerusalem so that he would not be arrested. And ladies and gentlemen, what they preferred was contrary to the will of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God that played out in the rest of the book of Acts. And I am so glad that God did not let them have what they preferred. Finally, they had to resign their preferences and say, "The will of the Lord be done." Some of your preferences may not line up with what God wants, with what the will of God is. If that's the case, then you need to abandon your preferences at the altar of surrender and leave them there. We'll say it again. If your preferences aren't lining up with the will of God, then you better pray to God that He'll reveal that to you so you can leave it at the altar, and so that you will not get what you want or what you prefer if it's going to take you out of the center of God's will for your life. We've got to deal with our preferences. So let's move on now. There's some other areas of our life we have to deal with if we're going to be surrendered to the will of God. Our will surrendered to His will. We also have to deal with our planning. With our planning. That is, you and I, we plan out things, don't we? We plan out what it is that we want to do. We're making plans about our future and about with decisions that we make. We are making plans. Well, I'm going to say to you that if you're going to surrender your will to God's will, then you're going to have to deal with your planning. That is, if your plans don't line up with God's will, then hopefully your plans, that you'll abandon your planning and leave it on the altar. If you're planning that which doesn't line up with the will of God, if what you're planning for your life, if what you're planning for your future, if what you're planning in the immediate future, listen, if it doesn't line up with what God wants, would to God that you'll get on your face and begin to pray and let God show you that so that you can abandon your plans and get on His plan. The writer James helps us understand that, doesn't he? In James chapter number 4, listen to what he writes. Some of you remember these verses. James says this. He says, "Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Now, this wouldn't be unusual in James' day. It wouldn't be unusual for somebody to travel away from home and travel to another city and to do business there and to stay there for a while. He's mentioned here, maybe you go there for a year and buy and sell and do business in that city. That is, you got it all planned. And that is, we're going to leave home, honey. We're going to pack up and leave home. I'm going to go to the city and we're going to work there for a year or so, buying and selling in the city. And we're going to make some money. We're going to go and make some money. Well, James says, now listen, those of you that say that, he says, you need to pause for just a moment, verse 14. And the reason why, he says, is, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." That is, you're making plans to go buy and sell for a year, but he said, "I want to tell you something," and that is, that you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And your life, you don't even know if you're going to be alive in a year. Your life is just like steam that rises in the air and you turn around a couple of corners and you're facing death. It just vanishes away. Here's what you ought to be saying, verse 15. For you ought to say, "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Don't you like that? Now we say that sometimes, don't we? And that is, sometimes we'll make the statement, "Lord willing, I'll be there." Or, "Lord willing, I'll do that." And when we use that phrase, a lot of times it's based on this passage. That's the reason why we say those things. But the idea behind this passage is this, and that is, when you and I are doing our planning, that is, when we're planning what we're going to be doing, we ought to pause for just a moment to recognize that God has a plan as well. And that God's plan should supersede our plan. In other words, you might plan to go and buy and sell in a city for a year and get gain, but listen, tomorrow may change your entire plans. As a matter of fact, God may decide to snatch you out of this life before that ever happens. In other words, here's the reality is our plans, ladies and gentlemen, don't control our destiny, but God does. And so for that reason, you and I ought to get our plans lined up with what His will is. We got to deal with our planning. In other words, when you and I are planning the future and planning what we're going to be doing, we need to find out what God has in mind. That is, we need in our prayer life alone with God saying, Lord, I want Your will to be done. Lord, I want to be able to plan this, but God, if that's not what You want, then I'm willing to abandon my plans for my life to do Your will. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You had everything planned out. You had it laid out. You thought you had everything laid out, planned out, ready to go. And that is whatever it might be that you were planning out for your life or that of your family. And then all of a sudden you found out that wasn't what God wanted for your life. It just wasn't the will of God. Now listen, if you live your life according to your plans, according to your plans, and not God's plan, you're going to miss out on His will for your life. You say, well, I'm planning, listen, this is what I want, and so I'm going to make my plans according to what I want. Have you ever thought about what God wants? And that is laying out those plans that according to what I want, but if I'm not considering what God wants, that is maybe I need to, maybe matter of fact, before I get in a planning process, maybe I need to get in a praying mood. Amen. And get on my face before God and begin to seek God and spend some time before Him and let God begin to develop in my heart what it is that He wants me to do and where it is that He wants me to go and how it is that He wants me to plan things. What I'm trying to get you to see is this. When it comes to surrendering our will, what we want, to what God's will, what God wants, we've got to deal with our planning. What it is that we're planning. Another thing we've got to deal with, ladies and gentlemen, is not only our praying, not only our position, not only our preferences, and not only our planning, but we also have to deal with our purpose. Our purpose. That is our purpose in life. That is, when it comes to surrendering my will to God's will, what I want to what God wants, I've got to deal with my purpose in life. You see, if God saved you, then He's given you a purpose in life. And that purpose that God has allowed you to have has been given to you according to His will. Now, one of the places we discover that is in the discussion about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Flip over there for just a moment. Let me show you this. When God saved you, He gave you one or more spiritual gifts. Now, those spiritual gifts that God gave you when He saved you are divine enablings that God gave you by the person of the Holy Spirit when He came to live on the inside of you that enable you to serve in a specific way. And now, there are some things that everybody ought to do, and that is that everybody ought to share the gospel. We ought to all be witnesses, but there are some who are specially gifted in that area. And listen, there are other things that we ought to all do, and that is we all ought to give. But I tell you that there are some that are specially gifted in the area of giving. God gives us spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts, ladies and gentlemen, define what our purpose in life is. The reason why we're here is so that we might glorify God. And God gifted us so that we can especially glorify Him in specific ways. And the Bible tells us here about these gifts, and I want you to notice it with me here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning of verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, or various kinds of gifts. Not all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives are the same. There's all kinds of different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations or differences of ways of implementing those gifts, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. That is, there's various levels of power or ways of using our gifts, but it's the same God who's working all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, that is, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are given to every man to profit with all. That is, everybody who's saved and gifted, and the gifts that God has given us is so that everybody might profit by them. And then He gives us some samples of some of the gifts that He gives. For the one is given the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom. That is, these are people that are specially gifted that have insight, ladies and gentlemen, spiritual insight and wisdom. The Bible says that there are those who have the word of knowledge, those who've been specially gifted to be able to receive a word from God. And by the same Spirit, to another faith. Those who are able to believe God for great mountain-moving things, they're gifted in the area of faith of believing God. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And we see those gifts right here in the Bible being exercised, gifts of healing. And he said, to another, worketh the working of miracles. We see that in the book of Acts as well. To another, prophecy. That's the God-given ability to proclaim the Word of God powerfully. To another, discerning of spirits. That is, there are those that are gifted to be able to discern between right and wrong, between good and bad. And there are those who have discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. We see that in the early New Testament days, where God gifted them to be able to speak in various languages. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. He lists some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gave in the early days of the church, in the infancy of the church, in here in the book of Acts. But notice verse number 11. You've got to see this. God gives all these different kinds of gifts to different people. But he said, all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Spirit of God is the one who gifts us with spiritual gifts. At the moment of our conversion, which enables us to be able to serve God in certain areas, to glorify Him. But ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of God doesn't come to you and ask you what gifts you want. He doesn't come to you and give you a menu and say, here's the menu, which one do you want? And you go down through the menu and you say, well, I'll take this one and I'll take this one and I'll take this one. No, the Bible says here the Spirit of God is the one who gives those gifts. The same Spirit gives all kinds of different gifts to different believers. And the Bible says He does it according to His will. He divides them according to His will. Now, what that means is this, is that some of you may not be gifted in the area that you'd like to be gifted in. That is, you would like to be able to serve God or be gifted in a certain area, but God didn't give you that gift. But you keep wanting to serve in that area. But God didn't gift you. When God saved you, He didn't enable you to do that. He didn't put you in the position to do that, and He didn't gift you to do that. You say, but I want to. But listen to me now. We're operating not according to what we want now, are we? But we're going to submit ourselves, our will, to His will. And that means I'm going to accept the reality. That is, I'm going to accept the purpose that God gave me. And I'm going to operate in the realm of my gifts. Of what God has gifted me to do. That is, I'm going to let God reveal to me the areas where He's gifted me. And I'm going to accept that as the purpose of God for my life. And I'm going to operate in the realm of those gifts. In other words, what that means is I'm going to stop desiring the gifts of others and just surrender to what the will of God was for me to be gifted in. Now, Paul lays this out a little bit later on. And he says to them, using the image of a body, he says, we're like a body, like a human body. And that is that Christ is the head of the body. And we're like all the members of the body. And there are different members that do different things that are gifted to do different things. And he says there in that passage, what if all the members of the body wanted to be the eye? I mean, listen, the ear wants to be the eye, and the feet. What if everybody wants to be an eye? If all the members of your body wanted to be an eye, then ladies and gentlemen, you might see really good, but you wouldn't get much else done. No, the will of God, ladies and gentlemen, God formed our body. God put our eyeballs in there, and they've got a purpose, and their purpose is to see. But I've got news for your ears, and that is you're not an eye. God didn't make you an eye, He made you an ear. And so ears, you just listen and let the eyes do the looking. And by the way, Mr. Tongue, don't stick out of my lips and try to see something because you're not going to see anything. Now you might say something, but you're not going to see anything. You're not an eye, you are a tongue. And you know the reason why is because God designed you that way and that's your purpose. You're a tongue, you're not an eye. And so the tongue might say, well, I want to be the eye. Well, you might want to be the eye, Mr. Tongue, but you can't be the eye because God didn't design you with that in mind. He didn't gift you to be an eye. What I'm trying to get you to see is what goes on in the life of the believer. And there's a lot of people spend a lot of time living in discouragement and despondency with bad attitudes. And the reason why is because they're wanting to be somebody or something that they are not and that they haven't been gifted to do. And so I need to surrender my want to God's will. God divided gifts according to His will and not mine. And so there's the other extreme of that, and Paul deals with it in 1 Corinthians 12 as well. And the other extreme is you got the members of the body that say, well, because I'm not the eye, then I'm of no value. And I'm just a toe. I'm down here in the old stinky shoe and that sock, and I'm just a toe. And I got this nasty old toenail, and that to be clipped off every once in a while. Nobody comes around and says, man, you got beautiful toes. But they'll say, all brag about those eyes. I'm not the eye. And because I am not the eye, then I'm just of no value. I'm of no use at all. Now listen to me. When God saved you, He gifted you and place you in the body with certain gifts according to His will, the Bible tells us here. So that wherever, however God has gifted you, is His purpose for you. And so if you're a toe, then enjoy yourself. Stand tall. Be a toe. If you're a tongue, be a tongue. Whatever God has gifted you, be that. And you're important to the rest of the body. As a matter of fact, those parts of the body, the Bible describes here in 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says some of those parts of the body that are less comely, less attractive, are the most important ones. Yeah, like your body? Hey, the parts of your body that people see, or your face, that is your eyes and your nose and your ears, and then there's your hands that are always involved in everything you do, and your feet that are always taken somewhere to go. But there are parts of your body that nobody ever sees. Nobody sees them, and nobody brags about them. Nobody ever comes up to you and say, what a beautiful liver. Nobody does that. If they do, there's something wrong with them. I mean, sure. But I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, your liver's a really important part of your body. Matter of fact, you can't survive without your liver. You can live without an eye and without an ear. You can live without a hand. You can live without your toe. But you can't live without your liver. So God has gifted all of us according to His will. And submitting our will to His will means that I have to deal with that purpose in my life. That this is my purpose that God has given to me. And so I'm going to serve Him in that area of giftedness. And when I find that out and surrender to Him, that's surrendering my will. That's part of surrendering my wants and my will to His will, our purpose. Not only are we going to have to deal with our purpose, but we're also going to deal with our performance as well. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, Paul was writing to the believers about giving. And they were collecting a collection. Paul and some others were collecting a collection for the saints in Jerusalem. And they were poor, and they were going through times of famine. They were collecting this collection among the Gentile churches, including the church at Corinth. And the Bible tells us in that context that these believers had talked about collecting this collection and sending it, but they hadn't done it yet. And so the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, beginning of verse number 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich, using our Lord as the example of those who deprive themselves so that they can help others. He became poor so that you and I might become rich. Verse number 10, He says, herein I give my advice, for this is expedient or necessary for you who have begun both not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. They began to talk about collecting this offering. Now therefore, listen to this, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, is accepted according to a man hath, and not according to one he hath not. You say, Pastor, what is he saying? He's saying, listen, these are folks that were willing to do it. And that is, yeah, well, this, listen, if God wants for us to give, then we want to do what God wants to do. But Paul is writing back to them and saying, listen, now if you're willing to do it, you've got to be more than just willing to do what God wants you to do. You've got to actually perform the doing of it. Surrendering my will to His will means more than just saying, all right, God, I want whatever you want. It's more than that. It's actually performance as well. And that's actually doing what it is that God wants us to do. Whether it be the collecting of this offering, like is the context here in this passage of Scripture, or whether it be the gifts that God has given you, surrendering to His will, ladies and gentlemen, is actually doing what it is that it's His will for us to do. It's not only being willing to do it, but it's actually performing what it is that God has revealed to us that He wants us to do. We got to deal with our performance, what it is actually that we're doing. There's another thing we've got to deal with if we're going to get our will surrendered to His will. I've said to you so far, we've got to deal with our praying because that's where we get it surrendered. I've said to you that we've got to deal with our position, accepting the position God has given us. We've got to deal with our preferences. We've got to focus on our planning. That is, we've got to get our plans surrendered to Him. Our purpose in life as revealed in our gifts. Our performance, not just wanting His will, but doing His will. And then we also have to deal with our patience as well. With our patience. Those who surrender their will to God's will, ladies and gentlemen, are those who not only know the will of God, not only want to do the will of God, and actually perform the will of God, but they keep on doing the will of God. We've got to deal with our patience. When I use the word patience, I'm thinking of it in terms of endurance. Keep on doing God's will and not stopping. The will of God is not something that you just do and then stop. It's something that you keep on doing. It requires patience. We see that in Hebrews chapter number 10. Listen to what it says. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 36. It says, for you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That is, those who've entered into the realm of following after the will of God, the Bible tells us here that we need to be patient. That is, after we are doing the will of God, being patient so that we might receive the promise. Those who have entered into the will of God and that patiently endure in the center of God's will, no matter what that requires. And for these believers that Paul is writing to in Hebrews 10, if you read the prior verses, they're going through persecution. They're going through deprivation. They've lost their jobs. Listen, they've lost their finances. They've had their goods taken from them by the authorities of that day because they're believers. They're going through hardships. And he's encouraging them to keep on going and to keep on enduring and not step away from the will of God for their lives. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That is, if you and I are going to surrender our will to His will, we've got to deal with this issue of patience or endurance in our life. And that is that we are committed to staying in the center of God's will. Listen, that we're committed to stay there no matter what. That I'm not going to step out of the center of God's will for anybody or anything. In other words, persecution may come, but I'm going to obey the will of God. And hardships may come, but I'm going to obey the will of God. That I'm not going to step out of the center of God's will for anybody or anything. Listen, poverty may strike the believers, but I will not step away from the will of God to enrich myself. And listen to me now, persecution may come, but I won't step away from the will of God in order to comfort myself. And listen, there may be those who will come against you, but I'm not going to miss out on the will of God for anybody. Listen, I know people right now, and you probably do too. You may not have thought about it in this terms, but I know individuals that are out of the will of God for their life, that have stepped out of the will of God for their life, and the reasons why they stepped out of the will of God for their life, ladies and gentlemen, simply are not worth it. And that is, maybe somebody got upset with them, they got crossways with somebody, and so they abandoned their church, they've abandoned their service, and walked away from that which is the will of God for their life. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to step away from the will of God for anybody or anything. No matter what that means. If you and I one day find ourselves under the heavy hand of a tyrannical government, The easy road might be to walk away from the will of God and the purpose of God and conform to the world. But listen to me now. Listen, those who stay in the center of God's will may have to endure some hardship. It may require some patience. But I say to you, that, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I need to be so surrendered to the will of God that we're not willing to step out from the center of His will for anybody or anything. It's called patience. Think about Job. Job went through some of the hardest times a man's ever gone through. But I tell you, he never cursed God. He sure didn't. He lost all of his finances. The devil launched an attack against him. He lost his finances. He lost his kids. He lost his health. And even his wife is trying to get him to go ahead and just curse God. And ladies and gentlemen, that man of God wouldn't step out of the center of God's will for anybody or anything. He felt the hardship. When you read the book of Job, he felt the hardship. He felt the emotions of grief. There was times when he wished he'd never been born because of the suffering that he was going through, but he never turned his back on God. He never quit on God. You've heard of the patience of Job. Peter would write in 1 Peter. You've heard of the patience of Job, how Job endured all of this, and when he got to the end of it, God blessed him with more than he ever had. What I'm trying to talk to you about is the will of God. And I tell you, the will of God, if you and I are going to walk in the will of God, we've got to deal with patience. That is, we've got to endure some things. The enemy is going to attack you like it did Job. The devil's going to try to distract you from the will of God in every way that he can. He's going to tempt you. He's going to do everything he can to distract you, to discourage you. The devil will. But I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to stay in the center of God's will, you're going to have to endure patiently those things and stay focused on the will of God for your life and not allow the distractions of the enemy to pull you to the right or to the left, but to stay right where God wants you, doing the will of God for your life. I'm trying to talk to you about how to surrender your will to God's will. I'm going to have to deal with this issue of patience. And then let me say to you finally, and that is that you and I are going to have to deal with the issue of perfection. Over in Hebrews chapter number 13, in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that God is trying to perfect us. God's trying to perfect us. That is the God who saved us, the God who redeemed us from our sin and saved us by His grace, that God's plan is to make us perfect, to make us complete and mature. When you got saved, it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning of a process towards perfection. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse number 20, Paul writing says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Listen to this. Make you perfect. That's what he's up to. The God who saved you, the God who sent His Son into the world, the God who raised Him from the dead, this God's purpose is to perfect you. Notice now what this perfection involves. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Listen to me now. God's purpose is to perfect you. And listen, God's work in your life to perfect you is moving you, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says here, moving you in the direction of doing His will. That is, if you're going to move in the direction of perfection, then you got to learn to do the will of God. That's what God's purpose is for you. That's what He's trying to do in your life. Those who are moving in the direction of perfection are those who are learning how to do His will. You say, "Pastor, I'd like to grow up and be a mature man of God, a mature woman of God." I think probably every child of God has that desire deep down on the inside of them to become everything that God wants us to be. That is for God to mature us and grow us to become everything that He saved us to be. And listen to me now, the only way you're going to get there, according to this verse, is by doing His will. That God is doing a work on the inside of you to cause you to desire His good pleasure, that which pleases Him. That is His will for your life. God's doing a work in you to cause you to seek after, to know, and to desire His will for your life. And as you, listen, as God does that work and you do His will, then God is moving you along in the direction towards perfection. The will of God. Getting my will surrendered to His will so I can grow up and be a mature man of God and be a mature woman of God. You know what you got to do? You got to get your will laid on the altar. You got to get your wants laid on the altar and get it all lined up with what His will is. And listen, if it doesn't line up with His will, then leave it on the altar and don't take it back up. Leave those wants there and abandon them and stop wanting that for your life so that God can grow you and perfect you. That's how God grows the saints of God and moves us towards perfection. He does it by teaching us how to do His will, how to get our will surrendered to His will. So that what we desire is not what we want. What we desire is what He wants. And listen, as you get surrendered to Him, God begins to put on the inside of you a desire after His will. And you find out that what your desires are His desires, and His desires become your desires, and you find out that what He wants ends up being what you want. You know what you're doing? You're on the road, moving along the road of direction towards perfection. God is perfecting you, growing you, teaching you, and developing you. If you get lined up with what He wants and abandon everything you want that's not lining up with what He wants, then God can grow you up. But listen, if you don't surrender your will, if your life is just about doing what you want to do and about what you want, and you don't get your will surrendered to His will, you're not going to move in the direction towards perfection. You're not going to grow up and get over those things in your life that you need to grow up and get over. But if you'll abandon your will to His will, then He's able to do a work on the inside of you that'll cause you to want what He wants and to desire what He desires. And as you begin to do His will, God begins to grow you up and move you in the direction towards perfection. Here's what I mean. If you want to be wise, you need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And the will of God is for you to be surrendered. If you're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, you're going to have to lay your body out as a living sacrifice and surrender to Him. You're going to have to lay your mind before Him and say, God, here's my mind. And I want You to make my mind new, my thought processes, my attitudes. I want You to renew my mind. And you're going to have to take your will, your wants, and lay them on the altar and surrender all of that to God so that you can walk in the center of what He wants, of what His will is, so that God can make you what He wants you to be for His glory. Getting our will surrendered to His will. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word and Your people and what You're saying to us. Father, I pray for those, God, who've been fighting against You and Your will and what You're doing and what You're saying. God, this might be the time they just get that surrendered on the altar. Yield it up to You. Abandoned to You. Our wants and our will laid before You. Submitted to Your will. God, would You teach us more about how to do that? God, would You help us, Lord, to lay our plans on the altar. To lay it on the altar before You, God, and get it surrendered to You so that, Father, we can, Father, get on Your agenda and not ours. God, would You help us, Lord, to get our purpose in life surrendered to You so it's lining up with what Your will is and not what we want. God, would You help us to get surrendered? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.